Hello, thank you for joining us today on this third day of the Feast of Tabernacles. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. It is the kingdom of God we celebrate during this feast, and our ability to celebrate requires a bit of knowledge. The type of knowledge we need within the faith is different than the type of knowledge to do other things. An auto mechanic will use knowledge of auto repairs to complete whatever task needs to be done, and we will use the knowledge of what is in the Bible. The auto mechanic likely learned through a trade school or another experienced mechanic. Maybe the auto mechanic read through a repair guide. The knowledge of that auto mechanic just didn't enter the mind because there was a learning process. The learning process for spiritual matters requires the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit, a person can read the Bible and generally understand what is written within the pages. Some passages may take a lifetime to fully understand, but with the Holy Spirit, learning and knowledge will come. A person who lacks the Holy Spirit may also read the Bible, but because they lack the Holy Spirit, their understanding of what is in the Bible will be much more limited. Knowledge is the result of learning. If we have knowledge, it is because we have learned what embodies that knowledge. For instance, if we know that Independence Day is celebrated in the United States on July 4th, we do not need to go back and relearn that bit of knowledge. It does not mean we might no longer study about the events of the American Revolution that are tied into July 4th, but it does mean the date of July 4th is something that doesn't require our attention as it might have when first learning about this date. In any topic, there is always knowledge to be gained, and there is also knowledge to be explained when a person might need help understanding. The Bible, similarly, has lots of knowledge within its pages, and because spiritual matters are contained within its pages, having the Holy Spirit is essential to understanding what is in the Bible. It's said that prophecy is history written in advance. Another way to think of prophecy is knowledge of things which will come to pass. The book of Revelation, for instance, was written so that we could see or have knowledge of those things which must shortly come to pass. Revelation 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Knowledge does not come all at once. There is no pill that is given that imbues knowledge on any topic. Imagine how much money could be saved if instead of having children spend years in school, if instead swallowing a simple pill could replace all those years of learning. Spiritually, the knowledge that we have doesn't come all at once either. And that is made clear to us because Peter writes, we are to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3, verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Just like there is no pill to be swallowed that would give every last bit of knowledge to a school student, having the Holy Spirit does not immediately give us every last bit of spiritual knowledge. Instead, we are told to grow and that knowledge, unlike primary and secondary schools, that growth in knowledge takes time. Through time, we develop a deeper understanding and knowledge. Contrasted to the length of time it takes us to learn is a statement we find in Hosea, where God says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." We might think ignorance is bliss. As long as ignorance brings no harm, ignorance can be bliss. But if ignorance somehow brings about a tragedy, ignorance is then very tragic. Beyond just not knowing because they haven't learned, we are clued in on the idea that the lack of knowledge that destroys God's people results from the people's rejection of knowledge about those things important to God. Having rejected what is important to God, the people then become knowledgeable about things that God has rejected, those things that lead to sin and false religious beliefs. Hosea 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, will also reject thee. For thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. And there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them. For the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. They sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains, and burn incense upon the hills, under oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore, your daughters shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery, for themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore, the people that doth not understand shall fall. Later in the book, Hosea implored Israel to return to God, to repent, and to acknowledge the futility of false religious beliefs. Hosea 14, verse 1. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words, and turn to the Lord, say unto him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously, so will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us, we will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the works of our hands, ye are our gods, for in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. Those who return to God will find mercy, and once again they will be a great people. Verse 4. I will heal their backsliding, I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel, he shall grow as the lily, and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under the shadow shall return, they shall revive as the corn, and grow as the vine, the scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. They will come to know the ways of the Lord are right, and the just will walk in those ways. Verse 8. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me thy fruit found. Who is wise? And he shall understand these things. Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. Isaiah writes of a future time, a time we celebrate during this feast, when Egyptians will know the God of Israel. Between now and this future time are some hardships for Egypt. God says he will smite Egypt and then heal the nation. It is also suggested that other nations that have historically troubled Israel will be at peace with it during this time, as a highway will be built from Egypt to Assyria, implying this highway passes through Israel. In the kingdom of God, we can see, because God is known to them, that Egypt, Israel, and Assyria will be the nations that bring the greatest blessings. Isaiah 19, verse 18. In that day shall five cities in the land of Egypt speak the language of Canaan and swear to the Lord of hosts. One shall be called the city of destruction. In that day shall there be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof to the Lord. And it shall be for a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt, for they shall cry unto the Lord because of the oppressors, and he shall send them a Savior and a great one, and he shall deliver them. And the Lord shall be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians shall know the Lord in that day, and shall do sacrifice and oblation. Yea, they shall vow a vow unto the Lord and perform it. And the Lord shall smite Egypt, he shall smite and heal it. They shall return even to the Lord, and he shall be entreated of them, and shall heal them. In that day shall there be a highway out of Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrian shall come into Egypt, and the Egyptian into Assyria, and the Egyptian shall serve with the Assyrians. In that day shall Israel be the third with Egypt and with Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, Blessed be Egypt my people, and Assyria the work of my hands, and Israel mine inheritance. Isaiah also describes Jesus Christ. We are told, among many things, that he would have the Holy Spirit, have wisdom and understanding, be respectful towards God, and have the spirit of knowledge. During his earthly ministry, Jesus confounded the religious elite and even the lay people with his knowledge and understanding of scriptures. Isaiah 11, verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Daniel writes of the end time and tells us during this time, knowledge will be increased. Though we have generally acquired great technical knowledge with all of our societal advancements, Daniel was referencing what we think of as spiritual knowledge, what is needed to understand what is in the Bible, and more specifically, what is written in Daniel. Michael, the archangel, told Daniel to seal up his prophecy until the end time, a time described as far-flung travel when knowledge will be increased. All types of knowledge have been added to what we know as a society, and today, with all our historical references, we are better able to understand the visions of Daniel. Daniel 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life,
and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Even Daniel, who recorded his visions, didn't fully understand what he saw, and he asked to know. Instead of being given the knowledge, Daniel was told that his words would be sealed up until the time of the end, meaning knowledge of what Daniel was describing would also be sealed up. A 3.5-year period is mentioned by the angel, and then Daniel is told he would be resurrected during the same time. Verse 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? Then I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and an half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. But I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from that time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thou way till the end be, and thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Paul wanted the brethren in Rome to be aware that salvation had been opened to Gentiles, and through Jesus Christ, the sins of all, both Jew and Gentile, could be forgiven, so that all could receive mercy. Romans 11, verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. He shared that the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God were deep, very deep, and too complex for people to understand on this side of eternity. Verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. To the Colossians, Paul explained that God is described as both the Father and Jesus Christ, and that the mystery of God contains all of the hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2, verse 1. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. By considering that the wisdom and knowledge of God is like a hidden treasure found with the Father in Jesus Christ, we should not be fooled that a person would trick us with crafty words. If the mystery of God is like a hidden treasure found with the Father in Jesus Christ, we won't find the mystery of God by somebody's use of tricky words. We also should be aware that since the mystery of God is found with the Father and Jesus Christ, the mystery of God will not be found in philosophies, traditions, or practices of this world. Our spiritual knowledge comes not from this world, but through the Father and Jesus Christ. Verse 4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. And as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. When we keep the holy days and the Feast of Tabernacles, we keep these without trying to be super Jews. We respect those who are Jews with the requirements and obligations they have, but we are not called to be Christians who live their lives as a Jew only better than a Jew ever could hope to do. We are called to be Christians who follow Jesus Christ, where the handwriting of ordinances was removed with the death of Jesus. Verse 11. In whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it away out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. As Christians who keep the Sabbath, holy days, and the Feast of Tabernacles, what we do on these days will look different than how a devout Jew would keep these days. So we have no need to answer to others on how we keep these days. We know God's plan of salvation is foreshadowed by these days, as Paul describes these as a shadow of things to come. And he reminds us that we are Christians because of Jesus Christ, that salvation is offered to us because of Jesus Christ, that the kingdom of God, which we celebrate during this feast, is possible for us because of Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus Christ, we have a unique understanding of how the Sabbath, holy days, and even the Feast of Tabernacles foreshadow God's plan of salvation. Verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Knowing for us that salvation is through Jesus Christ, there are no traditions of man, even if they come across as religious, that take the place of Jesus Christ in our lives. Verse 20, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Having been given the Holy Spirit, we seek those things that are heavenly and not on this earth. The knowledge we seek is the knowledge that leads to eternal life and our place in the kingdom of God, and not the life we already have. Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. The desire with God and Jesus Christ is for all people to be saved and have eternal life. We know through the understanding we have been given that some are called now, and in the kingdom of God, all who have lived and who have not been called or committed the unpardonable sin will have their opportunity for salvation. God and Jesus Christ also want all people to come to the knowledge of the truth. If there is knowledge of the truth, then we must concede there is knowledge not of the truth. Sadly, too many in this world today have a knowledge that is not of the truth. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. If we want a physical treatment to the knowledge of God, we can look to God's creation, including the universe which surrounds our planet. What we see as the result of creation is also a testament of knowledge, but most reject that this testament of knowledge is of and by God. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. He goeth forth as from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. In the Psalms, we can see requests to be taught judgment and knowledge. And this is linked to believing the commandments. When a person believes the Bible is the Word of God, they see the Bible as a primary source of knowledge. Coupled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible becomes a powerful source of knowledge that we can read to have revealed to us knowledge about God, Jesus Christ, salvation, and the kingdom of God to come. Psalm 119, verse 65. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Paul reminded the Ephesians that God the Father reveals knowledge through Jesus Christ in the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Ephesians 1, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us ward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. God has given Jesus Christ a place of authority over all things to the church, and that includes knowledge that the church has, and the presence of Jesus is described as fullness of him that fills everything, showing that when it comes to Jesus Christ, we are likely only scratching the surface of what there is to be understood. And we know in time that fullness of understanding will be given to us. Verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. We know that awesome respect for God is the beginning of knowledge, and during this feast we will be given a glimpse of things to come that will not even come close to fully knowing everything that will happen. Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. As the called of God, we have been given knowledge, even if it just barely scratches the surface of what is to be known spiritually. We can take comfort that God will never abandon us, and he promises to strengthen us and to uphold us with the right hand of righteousness, Jesus Christ. Isaiah 41, verse 8. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains, and beat them small, and shall make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shall glory in the Holy One of Israel. The Psalms tell us that a person is blessed who fears God and also delights in his commandments. No matter what hardships we may face between now and the kingdom of God, we can take comfort knowing there is this promise of blessing, a blessing that in part requires knowledge, because if we are going to delight in the commandments of God, we have to know them. Psalm 112, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. The spiritual knowledge we have been given cannot lead to worry on our part. We must continue in faith, seeking first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, knowing that God will provide for us. Luke 12, verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature 1 cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven. How much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have, and give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The knowledge that we have should lead us to a deeper appreciation of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, so that our sins can be forgiven. Knowledge should never lead us to a place where we murmur about, or find reason to dispute the knowledge we have been given. As we have the knowledge given to us, knowing salvation is through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, knowing any knowledge we have must be aligned to God and Jesus Christ. Philippians 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. The spiritual knowledge we have should never lead us to have any kind of ego. Spiritual knowledge should lead us to live a spiritual life, and that means what we do will be aligned to what we believe. It also means what we do will be done without ego, from a place of meekness, seeking nothing for ourselves and seeking peace for all. In the end, we show what we know by what we do. James 3, verse 18. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. During the Feast of Tabernacles, we celebrate the kingdom of God, and having that knowledge does not give us any spiritual superiority. It reminds us of the need to live our lives reflective of the knowledge we do have. Knowledge will lead us to take action, to live our lives according to what is expected of us, to live our lives seeking first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Everything we do must be aligned to what we believe. What we do will be done without ego and from a place of meekness, seeking nothing for ourselves and seeking peace for all. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together tomorrow on the fourth day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Until then, thank you for joining us today.